Open the bracket, it's time for All Squared.
Welcome to this episode of our podcast, All Squared. I'm Christian Perfect, and you just heard Katie Steckles.
And this is our Pi Day special edition of the podcast, in which we'll be chatting to Steve Mould off of Festival of the Spoken Nerd and the telly. Okay, so we're talking to Steve Mould, who is an internet personality and comedian, maths fan, hopefully, science fan. He does Festival of the Spoken Nerd. He once wrote half an article for the Aperiodical, which is a main thing. Steve, what else do you do?
What else do I do? Well, I do shows, you know, for kids quite a lot. I do math shows for kids. I do science shows for kids. I'm also a database developer, but who wants to know about that?
Well, there's maths in that, right?
Well, there is. It's quite a bit, actually, yeah. But let's not get into that. Not on a day like this.
No.
Not on such a monumental day.
Exactly. So hopefully you've all remembered, and that joke will become more apparently obvious later, that today is the 14th of March, which, if you're American and write the date incorrectly, is Pi Day, because it's 3.14. And of course, everyone's celebrating the mathematical constant and foodstuff pi. So yeah. We've got Steve on today to talk a little bit about pi and about, in particular, people who spend insane amounts of time memorizing pi, because apparently this is a thing that people do. I mean, in terms of digits of pi, which is the thing that people memorize, how much of pi do we know, Christian?
We, humanity, know 10 trillion and 50 digits.
That is a horrendously specific number of digits.
Does that count as a round number or not? Because it ends in a naught.
It sort of does.
I think it's a fairly round.
Yeah. Okay. Well, naught's pretty round.
It's pi. It's extremely round.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's the roundest number there is.
Carry on.
What's that fact about how accurate you need to know pi before it will tell you the correct circumference of the universe to an accuracy of like the width of an atom or something like that?
Yeah, it's something like
there's some kind of
20 digits. This is the one thing we didn't look up preparing.
I just like it, but okay, fine, we look it up. But it's the fact that it's about 20 digits is brilliant.
This is Katie speaking. It's 39 digits. I've now looked it up.
But is that the finest we'd ever need to use it, do you think?
I don't think so, because pi comes up in all sorts of other situations that aren't to do with measuring or aren't geometry.
Yeah.
So you might want to do computations where you need to divide by pi at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a really nice Wikipedia list of the chronology of how many digits of pi we've known, and it starts from like the ancient Egyptians who knew 22 over 7 and then works its way through, and there's this massive like kind of spike in it. It's like an exponential curve almost, that as soon as we hit the computer age, as soon as they invent the computer, it just goes off the chart. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Prior to that, everyone was just doing it by hand and imagining, you know, more and more accurate circles.
Isn't pi equal to 3 in the Bible?
Oh, possibly.
I forget the reference now, but it's something to do with building a tower. And in it, they describe the diameter of the tower, but they also describe how far around it is.
It'll be measured in cubits. So they're not hugely accurate, let's be honest.
No.
So people do attempt to memorize insane amounts of pi, which, as we've discussed, is fairly useless. And the world record, so the official Guinness World Record is listed as being by a Chinese guy called Chao Lu, who's memorized and recited 67,890 decimal places of pi in approximately 24 hours and 4 minutes, which is, it's a little bit like the 10 trillion and 50, 24 hours and 4 minutes is how long it took him. Although that was in 2005, maybe. And since then, there's actually a Japanese guy has done more than that, and he's done 100,000 digits.
Yeah.
And it took him 16 hours. It was some, you know, he did it so much faster. But Guinness haven't recognised that one yet, and I'm not sure if they're still kind of waiting for him to send through all the proof. Although apparently he was videoed quite heavily, including when he went to the bathroom. They just videoed him.
Yeah, I didn't realise that was all part of it. Obviously, when you go to the toilet, you have to make sure that you don't have, you know, several digits of pi written on, graffitied on the inside of the cubicle. And so were they actually filming him going into the toilet?
Yeah, they followed him in and and they filmed him. And he apparently stopped like for 5 minutes an hour to eat rice.
Yeah,
he was just shoveling rice for energy. But my favourite facts about the record attempt were that he started, he did 3 hours, lost his place, and started again from the beginning.
Yeah,
which is insane. You do 3 hours and be like, oh, what's after that? Oh, never mind, start again. He apparently had a previous attempt where he got up to 54,000 digits, and then the place that he was doing it in were closing for the night, so he had to stop. Planned for this. So that's another brilliant fact. But we've got a couple of links which we'll stick in the links pile of news articles covering this, and they brilliantly use in the way that news articles conventionally cover mathematical things in a really cack-handed way. And according to the BBC, conventionally pi is 3.14159. like, apparently that's the official value.
That's the official thing we do in engineering, presumably.
There's a standard reference pi in a lab in France that people go and look at, and it's 3.14159.
Although, according to the Daily Mail, it is usually written out to a maximum of 3 decimal places as 3.141 in math textbooks. So, aside from the fact that the Daily Mail have used the word math, which is inexplicable and probably indicates that they've just copied and pasted this.
I like how the Daily Mail always manages to make a mistake just when you think they've got away with it. Like, they've actually written an article for once that has got nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But to 3 decimal places, it's 3.142.
She's got a rounding error, haven't they? Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, rounding errors are probably the lesser of the Daily Mail's sins.
Yeah, if they can get everything right up to, like, 4 decimal places, I'm happy. But beyond that. But yeah, these guys do these insane record attempts, and this guy literally stood there and he did 100,000 digits. In fact, in the BBC article, it states that he did, like, 83,000 digits. But if you actually look at, I think there's a Wikipedia page about this guy, he actually did 83,000 before the sunset. And then he carried on until 1:30 in the morning and did 100,000 exactly.
I like the way that it's getting so long that it's actually become an endurance test as well.
Yeah, it's like,
it's how long you stay awake saying numbers.
That he did 100,000 exactly implies that he said all the digits he'd learned. He must have got to the end and thought, I could have learned 1,000 more. That would be a gutter, that.
I know what you mean, yeah.
So you kind of wonder how, like, literally how at all he's actually done that, because it must just be an insane feat of memory. And in the Wikipedia article, it describes his method. And he, in fact, used, because he's Japanese, he used the Japanese kana alphabet, which is the symbols that they've got. And they're kind of, rather than each representing a letter, they are kind of syllables. And he's basically assigned each digit of the digits 0 to 9 to, I think, a selection of about 10 different syllables. And as long as you can remember which digit is assigned to which set of syllables, he's basically written a series of stories that just say the digits of pi in the syllables. So he just has to recite that story in his head and then convert it back into digits. That will give him the digits of pi, which is just fantastic. And I really want to hear the story as well. Like, I wonder if it's about pi or about maths, or if it's just a random story about his life that he can remember what happened. And I don't know, you should word for word as well.
Well, I met this guy, Ben Pridmore, who is a sort of several times UK memory champion. He remembers packs of cards, that's his thing. But he has done numbers as well. And his technique, well, he developed a technique, well, it sort of added to a technique that already existed, where each card in the deck is like a character. And you might make up a character, it might be like, I don't know, He-Man or something like that, and then it might be like Grotbags, you know, from that TV show, and you just imagine things happening between them, and so it's a story of several characters. But his trick was to create a character for every pair of cards, so it made it a lot easier to go quickly through the cards. His was like a time trial. How quickly can you remember a deck of cards? And if every pair of cards is a unique character, then that's how you do it. But for numbers, he was saying you have every 3 numbers is a character. Mm-hmm. So he needed 1,000 different characters. But once you've established 1,000 characters, it's then a lot easier to whiz through the numbers really, really quickly, because every 3 numbers is a unique character. But it's the setup that takes time. Then it's like I need to invent this whole world full of 1,000 different characters.
Yeah, that's actually strikingly prophetic given what Christian Peake's just about to tell us about. So he's been looking at kind of ways of, essentially he popped up one day on the internet and started typing to me and said, like, would it be easier to memorize pi if instead of using base 10, you used a bigger base so that there were fewer digits overall? Christian, tell us about what you've got there.
So I thought, what bigger bases are easily accessible? Because you need to not just remember pi in that base, but you need to remember what the base is. So if you're using hexadecimal, you need to remember just like six more letters and things, or you could go for all the alphabet plus the digits, and that gets you a bit more. But I thought, why not go big and use the 1,000 most common words in the English language as the base? Which means that since 1,000 is 10 to the 3, we can take groups of three digits and they each correspond to a word. So you've got a third as many things to remember, so we're already winning. So I've written a program that will has converted the first 100,000 digits of pi into words.
Yeah, we'll put a link to this, both the word list that he's using and the result of doing this with pi. Essentially, we've discovered the world's best game is reading out chunks of this, because it is just a string of random words, and they're all fairly common words, but you do end up kind of putting a meaning onto it in your own mind. Do you want to read out some pi, Christian?
Okay.
See if there's any secret messages from the universe.
In base, the English language, pi is and dot mean happy case million fruit left deep lie pattern took wave column self land voice 10 get stream duck valley happy ever rub fall fish school neck law we planet told came long reply. That's the bit I like. We planet told came long reply. It's like a Dan Brown book happening.
I mean, the whole thing is written like Dan Brown.
Isn't that just how he writes?
He's got better grammar than Dan Brown.
Take, you know, complicated non-integers and just convert them into words. No.
What was the very first word?
And.
Yeah, and, which is the third most common word because it corresponds to three before the decimal point.
Oh, I see. So 003 would be this. Okay, right. Nice. And. They say you're not supposed to start a sentence with and.
Yeah, pi, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. But yeah, it goes on and on and on. Obviously, it goes on forever. But yeah, we were wondering if there would be any kind of terrifying messages in this. And they're like, later on, they really do get... It just continues being a completely random sequence of words, but it does kind of break your mind a little bit if you read too much of it. And we did spend a good hour yesterday just reading out chunks of it and sniggering, because it... You know, you put your own meaning onto the phrases and stuff, and it's just fantastic. But as I say, we'll put links up to that so you could all have a go at that kind of thing.
It sounds like the Bible code as well. Quite like predictions of things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy who's done, because you're saying you could do base 26, I guess, use the alphabet.
Yeah.
And if you just use the letters, you can just convert pi into letters. And there is a guy whose website we'll put a link to who's converted it to base 26. And in fact, the first, from about the fifth decimal place, it spells out lol. It says that, you know, pi, it's DRSQ lol, or Dr. Squalol, as I like to call it.
Dr. Squalol.
And that's essentially pi. He's done loads of analysis on it and said, like, oh, where's the first place we find a proper word? And where's the first place we find a English sentence and stuff? And like, I guess, because there is this unknown mathematical fact about whether or not you will eventually find all words or all combinations of numbers, because if pi is a normal number, then that is the case. Christian, do you know what a normal number is, and can you define it for our listeners?
I think a normal number is a number where every possible string of any length appears at some point in the decimal expansion. So it's not just good enough that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0 appear with equal frequency across. So it's got to be more than that. All one-digit things occur with equal frequency. All two-digit things occur with equal frequency. And so on.
Right.
Yeah. And is
I'm glad you said and so on. Otherwise,
yeah. This would have been a long podcast. Yeah, is it possible to construct a normal number?
Yes, I think so. I think there are some on the Wikipedia page. Are you going to get me to go to Wikipedia? Is this what you're trying to...
Are there well-known normal numbers? I mean, this doesn't strike me as desperately normal, but Are there ones we know on, like, do we know the square root of 2 is normal and things like that?
Okay, so apparently Champernowne's number is normal in base 10, and which that's the number where you write out like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10, 11, 12, da da da. So you just write out all the integers as a string, and that's a constant.
Yeah, to clarify, this is after a decimal point.
But we're working with infinitely long strings.
Yeah, you obviously will, by definition, then find all of those things in there precisely the right times, presumably.
Yeah, that's almost like you're defining a number to be normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in terms of normal numbers, yeah, you can construct these sort of weird artificial ones. But in fact, it's not... I might be wrong here, but as far as I know, it's not been proved that any non-kind of artificially constructed one is normal. It's just suspected of various things like pi, right. And no one's managed to prove it yet, which is really fantastic. But if it is, then it does contain everything. And in fact, the simple English word alphabet that Christians used to create this horrendous text will contain a simple English version of the entire works of Shakespeare, which I would be very interested to read. Aside from the fact that it would be a simple English version of the works of Shakespeare, I'd know that it was in pi as well.
So it's like that XKCD comic where he describes the Ariane 5 using the 1,000 most popular words in the English language.
Yeah,
and it's called the Upgoer 5 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It's so brilliant. Yeah. I think someone's done a website where you can actually use a text editor that only lets you use those words. And I think somebody did try to explain some nice maths using it.
There are some beautiful ones. Some people explaining the invariant subspace problem.
Brilliant.
ABC conjecture and things like that.
All the sort of on the edge of being proved maths results.
Yeah.
That's excellent. I like that. Cause, the newspapers will need that in a couple of months when it goes down. Use that. Yeah. As
there's a website where you put in your date of birth and it will tell you where that appears in pi, the decimal expansion of pi. I quite like that. I like the idea of using that for passwords. You know, so you find out what position you are in pi, and the position is your password, your new password. You know,
yeah.
So I'm something like 62 million something something something.
Imagine if that was the security question at your bank. Where does your birthday appear in pi?
Yeah, we'll put a link to that. There's a couple of different ones of those, so they just let you search in pi. But of course, if pi is normal, then everything ever will be in there.
Yeah.
But I imagine, given that we know 10 trillion and 50 digits of it, we're pretty much going to have any shortish string already.
Yeah.
I wonder if all possible date of births are in there already. Clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Surely.
Surely there
were. 10 trillion digits. Must be.
I'll be surprised if they were all in there one after the other. There's a way of, like, I saw a password generator which would only ever give you things that you could say. So it would be sort of three or four sounds that you could make and that were obviously spelt. And I wonder if you could use those as your base.
Ooh.
Yeah, like syllables or...
Yeah, syllables or, I suppose, phonics? Phonemes?
Phonemes.
Yeah.
How many phonemes are there?
IPA has 107 letters and 31 diacritics.
Good. I mean, the letters there presumably including things like ash and all the stupid double letter things and...
Because you just got to remember a really long word.
It would just be something that you can say, whereas Dr. Squalol is a bit difficult to pronounce.
So what we were getting towards with these mnemonics for pi is you want something that's less complicated than just working out pi. Because if you were some kind of savant that could work out digits of pi as you say them,
then
you've effectively memorized all of it.
The world record guy, how do we know he wasn't just imagining a very accurate circle and just thinking, then it's a 7, then it's a 2.
How would you, if you were going to do it, how would you do that? You could use one of these continuous equations, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's various methods.
It's various methods, isn't there?
I have a good paper in my collection of interesting esoterica that's called An Unbounded Spigot Algorithm for the Digits of Pi.
Okay.
I like the word spigot.
What's a spigot?
A spigot algorithm. It's that you, just from the last digit, I think, or just from some state, you can always produce the next digit in the thing. So it just goes on and on without taking up more and more space.
I mean, this is the thing. If you're going to remember, if you're going to use base 1,000, to impress anyone, you then have to downvert that back to decimal, in real time. Maybe that's why he was taking a break every hour for 5 minutes.
Yeah. What, to think ahead and see where he's got to...
to down convert from base 1,000.
Yeah.
That's the brilliant thing about the calculation records for, you know, for computers working it out. They're saying, like, the computer's taken this long to, you know, to calculate the this many digits of pi, and then it takes, because it's something like 130 days to convert, or depending on which of the most recent kind of breakthroughs it was. I think the one that was like 2 or 3 breakthroughs ago was like 130 days to calculate it, and then a further like 12 days to convert it from binary to decimal, and then another 3 days to check they'd done that right. And when they'd done that, they were like, "Yes, now we know it's correct, and we can verify that we've got a record." Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, does it become exponentially harder? I mean, is it like every extra digit you want to add on to the end, it's gonna it becomes harder and harder?
Well, no, because there's this spigot algorithm, it stays the same complexity.
Yeah, it's just tedious.
You just need to be able to store bigger and bigger numbers.
Yeah, you need a massive computer as well. In fact, we found somewhere you could download, I think Christian P found a link that was like, download 10 trillion and 50 digits of pi. And we're like, really? That's like 3 terabytes. It's like just the digits.
This is where compression works really well. Like, if you downloaded a text file uncompressed, that would be a hellish file. But actually, you know, if you zip it up, you can really crunch that down to hardly anything.
Mm. I guess, yeah, the number stored in binary would be however many bits.
Yeah.
But I think I worked it out as like, if you use 4 bits to store each digit, because you'd never need more than 9. But yeah, no, you're right. It could be much more efficient than that. Yeah.
This gets onto the topic of, I don't know how to pronounce this, Kolmogorov complexity.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at before. That you, Kolmogorov complexity is a, unless you know, Steve, were you trying to lead into it?
No, well, I understand it as being, it's sort of, what's the shortest way of describing a string, whether it's the digits of pi or whatever. How can you describe it? So if you had just a text file, you know, with the letter A typed 1,000 times, then that's not very complex. Even though if it's a big file, the complexity of the file is low, because you can just say, write A 1,000 times. So it doesn't take me long to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the difference between saving an image file as a bitmap and saving it as some more kind of more efficient method. Because, you know, you either save each individual pixel and say exactly what color it is, or you can use more efficient methods where they just say, well, this whole bit over here is red, and just store that information somehow.
And so for Pi, if there is this spigot algorithm, presumably Pi isn't particularly complex?
Well, no, because it would take a lot of computational resource to run that algorithm.
Yeah.
So it's not just how hard it is to describe.
It's not how small you can pack it down, it's how long it takes to unpack it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, reading out a digit would be one operation, but running the algorithm to get one digit could be a lot of operations.
Oh, I see.
And that's what you're counting.
It's slightly incongruous of me to be talking on this particular episode, given that the last thing I did for Aperiodical was write about how pi was wrong, as in it's the circle. It's not the circumstance that we should be using. And, you know, there is a part of me, whenever I hear about someone memorizing how many digits of pi, I kind of want to say, well done. You've measured, you've been able to remember half the value of the true circle constant.
Do you reckon the pi record guy could just stand there and double each digit and do the calculation in his head and do tau?
I mean, you know, it's going to get really annoying when there's like a whole string of like where you have to round up. You know, you have to remember ahead to check whether there's any round. It would be a nightmare.
My personal favorite way to memorize pi is to use these kind of mnemonics. And did someone write a novel or something? Like, people write a sentence where the number of letters in each word is, or the number of syllables or whatever, is a digit.
Yeah.
And so there's all the classic ones like, how I wish I could calculate pi, and there's another one about alcoholic drinks. I can't remember how that one goes, but yeah, in the spirit of that, I've written one for tau,
if you'd like to hear that.
Good. Yes, please.
It's forget pi, memorize tau, a superior ratio.
Yes.
And if you want to carry on, the problem with tau is that two digits later you get a zero, which is kind of annoying because you can't really do this. But we've hacked it. So we've got, if you want to carry on, you can go forget pi, memorize tau, a superior ratio for circle measure, I believe. And circle there represents zero. so it's a little bit of a cheat, but it works.
Well, presumably you need that for pi as well. I believe zero appears in there sometimes.
Yeah, but not for like thousands of digits, right? It's a significant way on before you get a zero, I think.
So I've got a mnemonic for a different number. It's, I'll just say the first thing I think of and it might work. And I'm counting syllables, and that is my mnemonic for the number 2 in base 2, approximately.
So that translates to 1.11111111.
Yes.
Because it's one syllable in each
word. Oh, in base 2. Very nice.
That's good, but I'm going to say the Kolmogorov complexity on that is inefficient.
Yeah, it's not the best.
Should wait to store that number.
That's deeply inefficient.
So do you have any mnemonics, Steve? What's your favourite?
I don't have any mnemonics for pi, except, so the way I learnt it was from a Simpsons episode where they would say sine, cosine, cosine, sine, 3.14159. So that's so I can remember.
That's good. Simpsons is a good source of all maths. So
that's right, yeah. Yeah. So that's as far as I can remember, 3.14159. And that was from an episode.
According to the BBC, that's all you'll ever need, so...
Well, that's it. I mean, well, traditionally,
that's how pi is used. Yeah.
I noticed the Daily Mail also called it a physical constant.
Yeah, there's a brilliant bit. I can't remember which article it's in. It's probably the Daily Mail one where they talk about how pi comes up in nature all the time. And then they list things, and they're all just things that are
circles. Just things to do with circles.
It's like in the shape of ripples, and it's like, yeah, that's circular. Pretty much.
Yeah.
In water droplets, also circular. The face of the sun. Nope, that's still
rainbows.
Rainbows. Incidentally, if anyone wants to have a go at home, we've found a website in which a guy outlines his method for memorizing 100 digits of pi, and it's really nice because he's made such an effort, and it's kind of like it splits it down into chunks, and then he's like, but this chunk is 2425, and you can remember that because there's 2 2s in it, and then this next chunk also starts with a 2, and it's really kind of...
Oh, I've seen that. It's beautiful.
Like quite helpful. But it goes on for ages because you've got to memorize 100 digits, and you're like halfway down, you're thinking, I have literally no idea what started this. Like I've personally memorized 25 digits of pi because I used to live in a house where that was the Wi-Fi router password. just needed a 25 digit number, so we were like, you know what, we're nerds, we just use 25 digits of pi, which means I can remember that offhand. But yeah, this guy goes to 100 digits, so if anyone wants to be able to get that brownie badge. Yeah, so I think we've pretty much covered that. So if anyone has any better mnemonics for pi, please do send
them. Mnemonics.
Or any worse mnemonics, yeah, any incredibly inefficient ways to memorize pi, please do let us know. We'll hopefully have some kind of feature in a future number of this podcast where we read those out. But yeah, it remains to say thank you very much to Steve for coming and chatting to us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Happy Pi Day, everyone.
Yeah, enjoy Pi Day. Eat some pie or go and measure some circles and have fun. All right, thanks very much.
And now it's time to close the bracket.
And that's All Squared.